SDK. Welcome to Business Life After Hours, a podcast that takes a deep dive into real-life topics at the intersection of business and life. After the workday ends, that's where we pick up.
Arturo, it's great to be with you here at the ProMedica headquarters.
It's my pleasure to be with you.
So we have had a great experience with you here at ProMedica. You started in 2022, but actually, you have more of a history with this organization. Tell us about your leadership prior to coming back here as president and CEO.
Oh boy, I go back a ways. So I go back to 1998 here at ProMedica. I started right out of law school. I started actually as an intern in the legal department. And it's kind of a funny story. I graduated law school at Toledo here, took the bar exam, and I was hounding the general counsel at the time for a job, and it took me a few months to finally get a meeting on his calendar. And he hired me. Opie Rollison was general counsel at the time. And I got hired as an intern. And my parents were not that pleased because they just paid for law school. I just passed the bar exam. And like, you took an internship? And I said, yeah, but I think it's going to work out. I really like this place.
And look at you now.
So I started back in the late 90s, and I was just the beneficiary of great timing. Back in 1998 is when Alan Brass started at ProMedica, and the board at that time had a growth strategy. So when I started, really, ProMedica consisted of Toledo Hospital and Flower Hospital. And then the next 10 years, we went through incredible growth. And I got to participate in all of that by virtue of being in the legal department. And I really got great experience working with the executive team, and not only our executive team, but of all the other entities that were coming into the system. I got to know everybody, and I just learned a lot through observation. Mm-hmm. And that was a really great, great time for me. Really fertile learning ground.
Absolutely. What a breadth of knowledge you gained from that. And then you went to Cincinnati for a bit.
I did, yeah. So I was here at ProMedica for 20 years in various capacities. After about 13 years, I moved out of the legal department and started moving around. My predecessor in this role, Randy Ostra, was a great mentor for me and really encouraged me to get out and about, get my MBA, which I did up at Michigan. And then he afforded me a lot of opportunities in human resources and then ultimately operations. And then I got an opportunity to be CEO of a system down in Cincinnati, and it was hard to pass up. Those CEO jobs don't come up very often, and it was an incredible experience. I learned a ton about myself and my leadership style and how to manage board relationships and things like that and manage strategy. So that few years in Cincinnati, I think, really prepared me well for this job.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So then in 2022, you came back here, and it was post-pandemic. There were fiscal difficulties everywhere here. What was that like as you stepped back into ProMedica post-pandemic from when you were here previously?
Yeah, I joke with my wife all the time that I should have asked more questions. But no, in all seriousness, it was a very stressful environment. It was tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a perfect storm at that time. So not only COVID, but if you recall, we had a global inflation going on. We had workforce challenges. We were losing a lot of money. We had a lot of debt. Mm-hmm. So the environment here was stressful. So as I came in, I had a lot of relationships from my previous time here at ProMedica. So that helped me get into the mix pretty fast and really try to figure out who's who, what's what, and how do we start to formulate a plan to get out of the financial situation we were in. So I tried to be a really good listener to make sure I understood exactly what was going on. But it became apparent pretty quickly that we had to take action, and we had to take action fast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, then let's talk more and drill down a bit on the sort of the organization, the state of it financially when you came back, and specifically that initial strategy, sort of like what was priority number one, and how on earth did you begin to unravel some of the things that were happening and build that strategic plan?
There were a few things. I think first is the team. I think all good things in organizations come from great teamwork. So we had to get the right team in place, both internally and the use of external experts. We used some external experts to really help us formulate a plan. Secondly, I would say it's transparency and communication. We had to be transparent and honest with ourselves. As we created a plan, we had to be transparent with the organization, the board. We have a great and very supportive board here. We had to bring them along on the journey, make our recommendations, and you know, have some good, healthy debate about what the right plan might be, and then create the plan. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, my job is to create the right level of urgency to execute on that plan. And at that time, it was pretty stressful. We were meeting with the board weekly, if not daily, during some of those months. But the team really came together. And once we got a plan in place, I thought we did a great job of communicating it and executing it.
So many healthcare organizations didn't survive.
Yeah.
So really, when you look back at that, what is your takeaway in terms of what you did well right away? Was it those outside entities that you worked with? Was it the team, all of the above?
Yeah. So the restructuring plan really was to focus back on our hospitals and doctors and our memory care facilities. At that time, we were huge. We were a $7 billion company. We had nursing homes. We had an insurance company. And we really wanted to focus on what we do well, which is hospitals, doctors, memory care. Those are the things we did really well. So it was really divesting everything else. We took quick action. I think that's what separates us from a lot of the other systems that didn't make it, is we were nimble. We were able to adapt really fast, and that gets back to that team. We had a great team executing this stuff. I tell my group all the time, the best teams in healthcare win, and I believe that to be true, and it starts at the very top, but it gets all the way down to the front lines. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to say, but it's very hard to actually implement. So that fast action, I think, is really what saved us.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you talked earlier a little bit about your leadership style, and I wanted to drill down a little bit on that because there was such a great fit with this organization, I think, and you were the right person at the right time to really come in and, I'll say, heal the system and move it forward. So describe a little more about your style of leadership.
Yeah, sure. I love reading, thinking about leadership and working on it. I'm a servant leader by nature. I really try to get the right team in place and then nurture that team, build trust amongst that team, and then try to get out of their way. Mm-hmm. And really, I go to them with, what do you need from me in order to do your jobs better, as opposed to telling folks what to do. So trying to build consensus. It's harder to build consensus than just to tell people what to do, but I feel like it's longer lasting if you can build consensus. And you don't always have the luxury of time to do that, but where you can, you should. Mm-hmm. And that's really the dynamic that I've tried to create here at ProMedica.
When you talk about ProMedica and some of the strategic initiatives that you had to take in order to right the ship, I'll say, what are some of those things in terms of, I know you had to sell off the senior care business.
Yeah.
Tell us more about some of those initiatives that you needed to do to really get things right again.
Yeah, they were tough, Christy. They were really tough. So we did have to divest a couple of businesses that were part of our DNA. Paramount. We had divested our insurance company. That was a difficult decision to make. It was the right decision for us and for Paramount. You know, we were able to sell that to Medical Mutual, and they retained that employee base, and that product is still out there in the market. The nursing homes we had to divest, also a very difficult decision, but we found takers, and so those people had jobs going forward. So we felt like the manner in which we were able to pull it off was good. Mm-hmm. But they were very difficult decisions, and operationally they were really hard to pull off. We had nursing homes from California to New Jersey and everywhere in between, 150 of them. So that divestiture was really complicated, but the team did a great job in executing that. But tough decisions we had to make.
Absolutely. And ProMedica consistently works to deliver clinical excellence in this region. So with excellence in patient care really being at the pinnacle of your priorities, how has the patient experience in your mind evolved through the years?
Boy, that's a great question. The patient experience, I think, means different things to different people. You know, if you're trying to get an x-ray done, you want to be able to schedule that really easily. Mm-hmm. Today, you want to be able to do that online. If you're in a hospital, you want to make sure your meal is hot and your meal is good. So it kind of depends. I start, when I think about our experience, I start with safety. We have a culture of safety within our organization. Dr. Kaminsky, who's the head of our safety program, is a rock star. He's been doing that leadership role for us for, gosh, it's got to be at least a decade now, and he's just great. So we have this culture of safety first. I think that's really important, whether you're in a physician's office or in one of our hospitals, safety's first. And then the experience for me is, once you're in our walls, we take great care of you, and our people are great with you. Well, how it's evolving right now is through technology. So we use Epic as our electronic health record, and they have an app called MyChart. And through your MyChart app, what we're trying to make very easy for the consumer is to schedule an appointment for either a doctor's visit or an x-ray or whatever you might need diagnostically, to do a telehealth visit if you want to see your doctor or your caregiver virtually. We're trying to make that very easy to do. And really anything else, pay your bills, everything through that app. And it's getting better and better. We're not quite where we want to be yet, but I think that kind of user-friendliness, leveraging technology, is where it's evolving. And we're trying to stay on the forefront of that with partners like Epic.
And also the patient education piece of that is so critical.
Yes, and it's all there now. It's all in the app. So instead of leaving with a sheet of paper, you know, everything's on there digitally and you can access it anytime.
So from your seat today, Arturo, looking back, what surprised you and perhaps challenged you the most regarding post-COVID pandemic turnaround efforts?
Nothing was surprising. I think what was really challenging was the communication, because we had a lot of different audiences. We had a senior care division, we had an insurance division, we had a hospital division, and different things were going on in all three different areas. So communicating a clear message about what was going on to all these different audiences was very difficult. We have a great marketing team here and PR team, communications team, who helped me with that. But as you're going through divestitures especially, you have to be careful on what you're messaging, when you're messaging, and how you're messaging. And that was difficult for us. And we're messaging to the community, we're messaging to the board, we're messaging to our employees. And when you're going through a stressful time, everyone's reading every word and reading into every word. So I spent a lot of time on that personally, doing videos myself, you know, and the finished product looks good, but I sit in my office and I do probably 20 takes till I get a version that I like to send out.
But you recognize the power of effective communication.
Absolutely.
And as you said too, people at that time didn't know what they didn't know.
Right.
So you were leading that charge in many ways.
Yes, and so I think that's really critical. And I spent way more time on that than I ever would have anticipated.
Now, as we look forward, ProMedica has moved away from that national focus to really more of a regional focus again, which it kind of used to be. So how has that refocusing really streamlined business operations and even things like community engagement and impact?
I think it's helped us. You know, this focus, instead of being a mile wide and an inch deep, you know, now we can dig a lot deeper into Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan on what we're doing. So we had resources spread all over the country a few years ago. Now we don't. Now everything we're doing is very much focused on Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan, just like you said. It's kind of back to our roots.
Yes.
And that allows us to go deeper into the initiatives that we do have. So we still have a lot of community impact initiatives out there. Russ Ebide, who our children's hospital is named after, a benefactor from, gosh, it's probably 10 years ago now when he gave us that big gift. You know, we've got a couple Ebide neighborhood promises, one here in Toledo in an urban setting and one in Adrian, Michigan in a rural setting. And Russ's mantra was a hand up, not a hand out. And he was very much focused on education. Let's help folks in these communities who need help get educated financially, clinically, wherever we can help provide some education and a hand up, let's do it. And so we're doing a lot of that work still in different communities. And we have a lot of other initiatives going on. We've got a great mobile care unit with the Ronald McDonald House that goes into different areas of Northwest Ohio, which is fantastic. So we've got a ton of stuff going on, but now it's more local versus national.
Which is great, and I know the region is really embracing that as well.
Yeah.
So I recently had the pleasure of working with and interviewing several of the physicians here at ProMedica in terms of some of the research that they're doing.
Yeah.
And it has been like, wow, really amazing and fascinating, because I think oftentimes we don't realize within the region that our physicians are actually doing world-class research that is impacting generations to come. So really, one of the questions I have, because you have a top goal of clinical excellence, when it comes to the different specialties, cardiology, neurology, oncology, orthopedics, children's, how do you go about attracting the best specialists and really creating top teams that make a difference for the patients, but also so that people living in our region can stay in our region and get their care here?
Yeah, thank you for that question. Mm-hmm. That's a great question. They're doing amazing stuff, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's inspiring, and I am so proud to work with these folks. It's incredible, their dedication, and just, you know, being around smart people working really hard is inspiring, and it's really engaging. We had a meeting last night, actually, with our oncology group and the physicians who are leading that practice, that service line, and they were talking about their strategic plan for the next few years, and I left with so much energy. Mm-hmm. It just makes you feel good. So, you know, the way we drive it is just what you said, through those service lines. We have formal structures in all of those service lines: heart, neuro, oncology, pediatrics, orthopedics, and we have physician leaders in all those areas. We pair them with administrative leaders. And we have a strategic planning department who works with all of them to make sure we're staying state of the art in everything we're doing, including research. So it's through those plans that we're able to stay state of the art and do the high level stuff that we're doing. And what was great, even during all of our restructuring, we never stopped any of that. Mm-hmm. All of that kept rolling, and we kept investing in our people. We keep recruiting top talent, and top talent recruits top talent. So, you know, our physicians recruit their friends.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have great talent, it attracts others. And that's been a very good, a good program for us on the recruitment side. And we've stayed very strong in that space. And we invest in a lot of technology to stay state of the art. You know, one of the things we're most proud of is our robotic surgery program. We are one of the top programs in the country with robotic surgery. And we want to stay on the cutting edge of that as it continues to evolve. And there's some incredible stuff. Even the oncology group last night shared something I had never seen before last night by way of robotic surgery. Mm-hmm. And what's coming down the pike is incredible.
As you talk about that and delivering the best clinical care you possibly can, I'm interested in understanding, you know, you're starting to build a culture of that. And as you said, sort of that begins to build upon it,
yes,
you know, sort of with each other.
Yes.
But how do you continue to do that day after day, year after year, and keep that culture threaded throughout the years and the generations?
Yeah, well, what we do is we create a very formal process through our strategy department. So every year we've got a calendar of appointments. So you got to show up and you got to make your pitch. And if you're not being aggressive enough, we'll push you. If you're being too aggressive, we'll pull you back a little bit. But we try to be very deliberate in those planning sessions to make sure we're pushing enough to make sure we're staying on top of what's coming down the road.
Something else you've alluded to as well is community collaboration. And we've talked before about sort of the reset that UToledo and ProMedica have done together in terms of that relationship to be more highly productive, keeping residents in our region. Tell us more about that very positive relationship and collaboration partnership that you have.
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, we started a renegotiation of our academic affiliation agreement with the university. And I was really, really pleased with what we were able to come up with. It was a win-win for both organizations. I think it allowed the university a little more flexibility in how they run their clinical programs, and without losing the spirit of the overall engagement, which was, we have a big medical school here in Toledo. ProMedica is the largest medical provider in Toledo. We really ought to be collaborating to train the next generation of caregivers for the region, physicians. And it's not just physicians. You know, we train nurse practitioners, physician assistants, radiology techs, respiratory therapists. We have a very broad relationship with the university. So we created what I believe to be a win-win. I'd like to give a shout out to Matt Schroeder and Dr. Ali over at the university. Both of them have been and continue to be integral to the relationship. They've been very collaborative. So it's been a great reset of our relationship, and it's going really well. And I think it benefits the community in the long run.
I was just going to say that. It really is making a huge difference, and we all see that living in this region, the impact and leadership that has come forth in that.
And we're keeping docs here. We're able to retain. So when we're collaborating and getting along, the residents see that, they feel it. It becomes a place where they want to practice for their careers. Mm-hmm. So that is proving itself out here with our recruitment.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on a little bit to innovation and AI.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's going to solve all our problems.
Exactly, right? That's what I've heard.
Yes, me too. I keep hearing it, yeah.
So it truly is going to be impacting healthcare in a huge way.
Yes.
Tell us more about how ProMedica is using AI for patient care and beyond.
Yeah, so believe it or not, from an AI perspective, we at ProMedica here have over 100 applications running AI. And it runs the gamut from administrative AI to clinical AI. I'll give you a couple of examples. On the administrative side, we have artificial intelligence running in the background from a cybersecurity perspective. So if a bad actor is trying to break into our IT system, we've got AI in the background always monitoring, and you know, we'll figure out if someone's trying to get in, and then we can act upon it. On the clinical side, we've got a bunch of different programs going on, and it helps with predictive analytics. So for example, if you for some reason unfortunately have to go to one of our emergency departments for something, when you get in and they start entering why you're there into our system, there'll be AI running in the background trying to determine whether you're going to need to be admitted and are going to need a bed in the hospital. So we know right away, all right, Christy's going to need a bed, we're going to have to admit her, where are we going to put her, who we're going to have to move where, what kind of services is she going to need, so that we have it resourced well for when you do get up to the floor from the emergency department. So, and we have 50 or 60 other examples like that where it really helps with predictive analytics so the clinicians know ahead of time how to care for a patient, like what they're going to need to do.
That is so impressive, and that is such a great benefit for patients. So I'm really glad to hear that AI is working way ahead of us in terms of patients.
It is working way ahead of us. You know, and our the company that we use, again, Epic, from an electronic health record perspective, they've got a lot of AI initiatives. So they're the premier EHR vendor in the country. They are staying way ahead of this game, and we're tied to the hip with them. Mm-hmm. We were an early adopter of Epic. We're fully integrated with Epic. So everything we do is all in one system, so it has a tremendous amount of data from which we can pull and learn and continue to evolve.
Now, as you look ahead, what are some of the initiatives at ProMedica that are on the horizon that you are most excited about?
Well, I'm really excited about our robotic surgery program. I think as we continue to evolve it, it's just incredible what we're going to be able to do. And really, all the research from all of our service lines, heart, is getting into it in a big way. Our neuro program's incredible. What neuro's been able to do that I'm really excited about is establish telehealth relationships. They have a stroke network out of Toledo Hospital, and they're tied in via telestroke, so telemedicine, virtual care, with 23 different hospitals across Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan. So we only have 10 in ProMedica, so there's another 13 hospitals out there that aren't part of ProMedica, but that our neuro group services from a stroke perspective. This is another example of AI. So if they have someone who's having a stroke up in Monroe, Michigan, they'll send an x-ray to our guys. AI does a first read. Here's what's going on with this patient. We get a helicopter. They fly him into Toledo, and they fix that person right away, because in a stroke situation, time is really critical. So they've created all these protocols using telemedicine and AI to really keep things going smoothly and quickly. Yes. So I think the evolution of things like that, it's only going to get more and more sophisticated. So that's really exciting. And we've got other big programmatic things for clinical services we're not providing today that we will be providing in the future. We do almost everything these days, but we want to make sure we're continuing to stay ahead of that curve.
Now, as you look back at the challenges that you have faced since you've been back here at ProMedica, what have you learned the most about yourself personally and professionally?
I think personally what I learned is how important it is to be resilient. Getting through a tough time, whether it's at work or in your personal life, requires resilience. You know, it's something you want your kids to understand. You know, my parents were immigrants. They moved here in the 70s without any money, and they made it work. And you think about the bravery from that group of immigrants who came at that time, or even before them, but it just shows you you're capable of a lot. You just got to stick to it and keep grinding. Mm-hmm. That's what I tell my kids whenever they're complaining about something. I said, just keep grinding.
That's great. Great.
You know, and professionally, I'm going to go back to, from a leadership perspective, the communication. And everyone needs a little bit different communication. You know, my direct reports, people who report directly to me, everyone's got a little bit of a different style themselves. So I adapt to them, or I try to anyway, adapt to them. And leading a group of highly skilled executives is challenging. So I work on that every day professionally, and I try to improve upon that every day. But what I learned through that crisis is, if you're honest with people, clear with people, even if they don't agree with you, they'll move with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important from a leadership perspective, because while you want to be a consensus builder and you want everyone to always come along on your journey, it's impossible to get 100% consensus all the time, but you got to get enough, and you got to have people respect you enough and trust you enough to take the leap. And it was a big deal. I think those kinds of things were a big deal during those tough times.
And you do that so well as a leader. You see people, you hear people, you have that emotional intelligence that really makes you an incredible leader.
Thank you.
So thank you for being with us on Business Life 360 and for all you do for this region and beyond.
My pleasure.
Business Life After Hours is hosted and produced by Christy Kay. Audio engineering, production, and editing by Chris Pfeiffer. Be sure to join Christy for her award-winning television series, Business Life 360, the third Thursday of the month on WGTE HD or at wgte.org/b360. Business Life After Hours is a production of WGTE Public Media.